This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Two things I'd like to add to the agenda.
Yes.
Okay. First thing is the discussion on WBAI. We recommended internal receivership for the station and programming from the national office. That's number one.
That was identified. That email was labeled confidential. I don't know that the subject matter is confidential, but as John Kriegler stated that he wished that to that whole entire email to be labeled confidential, I'd prefer not to take that up without consultation with legal counsel.
I would like to challenge that because it says the email contains legal advice that should be kept confidential. It doesn't say that, you know, that it's, we don't have to discuss legal advice.
Nia, your phone is no, the mouthpiece on your phone is no good.
You're very muffled.
Well, everybody else heard me. I would like to put on the agenda, raise the
seat. I can hear.
About WBAI being put into internal reporting.
Okay, do you think maybe we could get a little bit of context here? Who is speaking, and where and when did this conversation take place, and what does internal receivership mean? All right, now, having not listened to the BAI board report to the listener this evening, which everybody's talking about, maybe I'm a little bit not entirely up to speed here, but I think that we could use a little bit more context. Who exactly is threatening to put BAI in internal receivership? When were these comments made? In what context were they made? Where was this conversation taking place, and when? And what the hell does internal receivership mean anyway? That's what I'd like to know. Well, maybe we'll take phone calls later on, and somebody who's more in the know can fill me in after I do a little bit more ranting, kvetching, griping, complaining, moaning, etc. on the all-important show, which is coming up next, here at 2 minutes after midnight on listener-supported, non-commercial. Enjoy it while you can. Use it or lose it. WBAI 99.5 FM. Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news. Only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Yeah, خاطر العجل ولد البكاي عجل ولد البكاي من نادو بخاطر ناس مستغالي ميدو مستفر على مجاهر خمس خماس
يا هارم من نوم لا جيش على ليان والفرقة يصحب نزاد الكشرة واللي هو يعشق يا ويعشق بنت فلان يخير في البنايات من ناس الكبرى يا ولي جايح يا شققنا الريان ما يعرفوش اللي جابوا للهدرة يا ولي يا ما يعرفوش اللي حديثه للتمان واللي هي أبليح ليهم عيرهم محنتهم ما يخفي يا تبخت في الزيوان حس الجلسة يخفى روها بالعفرة يا ولي هو يا شيخ يا شق بنت فلان خير في البنايات من ناس الكبرى واللي جاي حد يا شقق ناس العيان ما يعرفوش اللي جابوا للهدر يا ولد محنتهم يا خفايا يا فاتر في الديوان حس الجلسة خصت روها بالعفران يا ولد يا ما عندي في الاحباب يا ولا من يعزني لا من يديني في وادي وغيرك غابوا للطال والسجاعة يا غبني لا من يغدى يشوف خير أم الخير يا وهي رهي الهي وانا في ظني لما راني مول يا نديها تدبير قالت لي يا وشيخ يا ذروك كامحني وانا عشقي صيف يا ما نشق في غير
واحد مسكيني واحد
يا ما نبغي شي حديثة يا هضرة عدياني والفرد ما يقلب يا هم تنور ابني
عايز اني جيت
يا وعيا وشط النور لينا بالعنيه ما ينفع في فرايا يا ابنا كذب وتنبيه يا قدرة ربي يجيتها تحلف للدجاج
زين الزين وبيتك يا يا العرم يا بنت عين ليلة مكمولة كاملة من حور العين وغالي زايا يا مخالف مدي باجل في حال يهرين وانضم وخطين
All right. Welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Enjoy it while you can, use it or lose it radio, where we're all running around like Chicken Little thinking that the sky is falling. Let's see. We just opened with some music from the an album entitled Bedouin Tribal Songs from Oran, Algeria, recorded, I believe, sometime in the 1960s, maybe even as far back as the 1950s. Wasn't able to find out exactly. Don't know what they're singing about either, although it sounds damn good. If anybody out there can understand the particular Bedouin dialect of Arabic that they speak in Algeria, give us a call and let me know what they were singing about. We'll be hearing more of this later. But I would also like to, even though I swore last week that I would never would again, I'd like to take listener phone calls. I keep swearing it off, and yet I keep coming back to it. Because I just need to know, if I'm going to continue to do this radio show, I need to know that there's somebody out there who's paying attention, who understands a word that I'm saying. So we're going to do a little experiment tonight. I'm going to put several issues before the listeners, which have been giving me angst over the course of the past week, and see if anybody has anything intelligent to say. And I will base my decision as to whether or not I'm going to continue to do this radio show on the level of intelligence of the calls that come in. So my fate is in your hands, listeners, and of course all of my enemies out there are going to seize upon this with relish as their opportunity to finally get me off the air. So I appeal to all of my fans out there, assuming I have any fans out there, to do what you never do, or all too rarely do, and actually call in and say something when we take phone calls. I'm going to give the number now. Write it down, because I'd like to hear from some people who haven't called before, not only from those same five people who have the number memorized. 212-473-2070. 212, no, that's not the number, is it? 212-209-2900. Yes, that's the number. 209-2900. 212-209-2900 is the number. Maybe in about, optimistically in an hour. Give me some time to get some things off my chest and provide some fodder for you all to call in. And give us some time to hear some more Bedouin music from Oran, Algeria. Because sometimes I think that I should just play music and not bother to actually talk on the air. Maybe I should just turn this completely into a music show. Failing that, maybe I should just adhere to the ethic of the founder and Hierophant Emeritus of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, Peter Lamborn Wilson, who believed that you don't take phone calls. If people really want to communicate, they can actually put pen to paper and send a letter to the station. And that weeds out the nut jobs, and it's only the people who actually care enough about what you're talking about who are going to take the time to write in. And then you can read their letter on the air if you have something, if they actually have something intelligent to say. As opposed to the people who just call in to sabotage the show or just to hear their own voice on the radio. So this is going to be the experiment. I will keep doing the radio show and not change the format if we get a majority of intelligent calls. So if we take 10 calls, we need to have a minimum of 5, I would say, or really 6. A minimum of 6 have got to be intelligent. Or if we take 12 calls, then I guess a minimum of 7 have got to be intelligent. And by intelligent, let me emphasize, I don't mean people who agree with me. I encourage you to take issue with me. I encourage you to argue with me. I encourage you to call me out on any illogic or even arrogance. And I confess to the latter, if not the former, although I also plead extenuating circumstances. I encourage all of that. There's no point in taking phone calls if I only want people who are going to nod their heads in agreement with me. But you've got to, like, actually address what we're discussing. And you've got to have something intelligent to say. And obviously, it goes without saying, you can't be a mere crank who is interested in sabotaging the radio show with vulgar language and etc. So, well, my first question, I can see people are calling already, and we're not taking phone calls now. We're taking phone calls in an hour. So hang up. The number is 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. Hang up. I'm not taking any calls for another half hour at least. So hang up, write down the number, hold that thought. All right. So the first question is, can anybody provide any further elucidation as to what obviously a clip from a conference call was on the computer here at the station, luridly entitled Pacifica Vote to Place WBAI Receivership Excerpt. Well, I understand that this was a telephone conference of the Pacifica National Board. I've been led to understand that much. In which, apparently, the notion of putting WBAI into internal receivership was broached. I am not clear that, in fact, it was voted on. So, I'm not clear that this card is, this announcement is correctly labeled, because it says here on the computer, we still call them carts, back from when they were actual cartridges, like 8-track tapes that you would actually put into a tape player back in the old days, pre-digital days. It's kind of like, you know, when your parents still called the refrigerator an icebox, that we still call them carts, even though they're now all completely digital and on computers. But it's labeled Pacifica Vote to Place WBAI Receivership Excerpt. So, I don't know, it seems to me that there wasn't really a vote. It just seems that the idea was broached. It's not entirely clear who's talking. Nobody's identified. And it's not made clear exactly what internal receivership means, because I suppose I'm not privy to the numbers. I don't know how far behind the eight ball we are economically. But I suppose there's a possibility that if BAI goes far enough into the red, we could be put into real, legal, external receivership. But that's not what's being discussed here. What's being discussed here is Pacifica, the national, coming in and imposing their will on us from afar, it seems to me. I don't know exactly what this would mean. I'm not sure anybody knows exactly what this would mean. But if you have any information and you can elucidate as to what exactly this is all about and how serious the risk really is, I'd love to hear from you. Now, you know, as long as I've been here, which is now going on 20 years, which really makes me feel old, you know, it's perennially the sky has been falling. Everybody's running around like Chicken Little saying that the sky's going to be falling any minute now. And if the station isn't about to go under, then they're about to eliminate all of the overnight programming and turn it all into strip programming and get rid of all of us freeform cranks and just play, you know, wall-to-wall top 40 pop or whatever. and it never happens, right? I mean, you know, it was all this paranoia about it. It never happens. However, you know, I will note that the entire world is going into very steep, dramatic financial crisis at the moment, quite obviously. So there might be more to this kind of alarmism now than there has been in the past. And certainly in the so-called coup period from began in winter of 2000, right, Christmas time 2000 through just about this time of year, early spring of 2002, there really was a regime in place here at WBAI which had been imposed from afar by the National Board, or at least with the complicity of the National Board, and really was, you know, draconianly changing programming in a arbitrary and censorious manner. So, you know, we were sort of looking into the abyss back then, and we prevailed through a combination of activist struggle and litigation. The forces of democracy prevailed, and WBAI survived, more or less intact. But in some ways, as meaningful a victory as that really was, in some ways, we never quite recovered entirely from it. And the station continues to be debilitated by internal factionalism, which it had been before as well, but I would say it's been worse since the coup. And, you know, I kind of view it like the coup period was World War II, and since then it's been the Cold War. And the factions which came together to oppose radio fascism during the coup have fallen out and are engaging in a sort of a Cold War for control of the station, and I suppose control of the network, although I'm less privy to what goes on at the other Pacifica stations. But I understand that similar, if not strictly analogous, struggles have certainly been playing themselves out at KPFA and perhaps to a degree at KPFK in respectively Berkeley and Los Angeles. So all of this is by way of introduction to what I actually intended to talk about tonight. Once again, before I get to that, to give the number, we're going to be taking phone calls optimistically in about 25 minutes. All right, a half an hour, so we can play some more of the Bedouin music from Oran, Algeria, at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. If anybody can provide some elucidation. I don't care which faction you're in, okay? Because I want to make clear that just as I was a dissident from both sides in the Cold War and took a neither east nor west position, I take a similar position regarding the Cold War here at WBAI, okay? I think that both sides have got legitimate criticisms of each other and are completely blind to the legitimate criticisms of their own side. And I have both friends and enemies in both camps, as well as a lot of people I basically feel indifferent to in both camps, and a lot of people who I feel are very annoying but wouldn't go so far as to call them enemies. So I don't care what faction you're in. You know, I just want somebody who can provide some information, and we'll just judge it on the merits. Okay? I don't think that either of the two factions here at WBAI have got a monopoly on truth, although both of them are absolutely convinced that they do. So, okay. Now, by way of segue to what I wanted to talk about tonight before I arrived here at the station and found everybody running around like Chicken Little telling me that the sky is falling, what I wanted to talk to was actually on a related theme, which has to do with the deep financial crisis. Which is, you know, this, you've heard me give this rap before, and I'm going to give it again, which is that I understand that WBAI needs money, and the WBAI therefore has a responsibility, it could be argued, to come up with premiums which are going to sell during the fund drives, and bring in the money by any means necessary, as the slogan goes. Because you know, there isn't going to be anything left to fight over if the station goes under. But even if we do accept this logic, we should do so with no illusions. And there are risks. And the first risk is that precisely in the terms that I just stated it, you know, coming up with a premium which is going to sell, the first risk is that we are slipping into commercialism. Even though we pride ourselves on being a non-commercial station, the first risk is that we are slipping into commercialism. And that rather than, you know, the premium merely being a sort of a gesture of thanks to the listeners for supporting the station because they support the programming. Instead, it's becoming an aggressive hard sell of overpriced books and videotapes. And the, really what you're doing is you're buying overpriced merchandise as opposed to supporting the station first and foremost and then just getting the premium as a gesture of thanks. Okay, we're slipping into commercial radio, subtly but inescapably. You know how the right wing is always paranoid about creeping socialism, as they call it? Well, maybe we could use a little paranoia about creeping capitalism. That's the first thing. The second thing is that once again, unfortunately, I find myself in the very, very uncomfortable position of having to publicly dissent from some of the content of the premiums which were offered. And this brings us to the larger question, related question, but larger question of the ongoing sort of leveraged buyout of the radical left by the populist right. And the most significant way by which the populist right is getting their shoe in the door is through conspiracy theory, which BAI seems to have embraced aggressively because, once again, it sells. Now, before I go into my rant, I'm going to do one more thing, which bringing up the question of conspiracy theory just reminded me that I had made an announcement last week that the March Anarchist Forum was going to be a debate between myself and Jack Bradich on precisely this question, the question of conspiracy theory, specifically as it relates to 9/11. That event has been canceled. It's been postponed. It's not going to. We've canceled the march for various reasons of scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. So that's not going to be happening this weekend. Hopefully it will be happening next month. So watch this spot, and we will let you know when, in fact, that's going to be happening. There will definitely be a anarchist forum happening at the Living Theater next month, April. I don't know if it's going to be my debate with Jack Bradich. I would imagine the odds are good that that's what it'll be. But it'll be something interesting. And in any event, my debate with Jack Bradich on conspiracy theory will take place later this year, certainly. So probably, if not next month, it'll be in May. So watch this spot, and I'll let you know about that. Meanwhile, there is one event, while I'm on the subject of events, which I have been asked to announce, which is going to be 1 week from tonight, Tuesday, March 17th, at the Brecht Forum, which is at 451 West Street, which is way, way, way over on the west side in the farthest, most distant reaches of the West Village, just before you get to the Hudson River. At the corner of Bank Street, it's 451 West Street, just off of Bank Street, where John Lennon used to live. Used to live right on that block, as a matter of fact, before he moved up to the Dakota. And what's going to be happening? What's going to be happening is this. There's going to be an event marking the, my God, how many years has it been now since 2003? I can't do math. 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 6th anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq. The event is going to be entitled Poetry of Resistance, Remembering the Casualties of Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Ellipsis. To mark the 6th anniversary there, I didn't have to count on my fingers on the radio and make a fool of myself. I should have just read the announcement. To mark the 6th anniversary of the present Iraq War, a reading sponsored by the New York Activist Poetry Round Table and friends. So, once again, if you've got an angry poem that you'd like to spit, bring it along to the Poetry of Resistance commemoration of the start of the Iraq War. 1 week from tonight, Tuesday, March 17th, 7:30 p.m. at the Brecht Forum, which, once again, is at 451 West Street, immediately off of Bank Street. I believe it's between Bank and Bethune. It's a little bit out of the way, but you can figure out how to get there. And if for some reason you can't, you can just go to the Brecht Forum's website, which is, do I have the URL in front of me? I don't, but you can find it easily enough with a Google search. That's Brecht, Brecht Forum. So there you go. That's the announcement. 1 week from tonight, Poetry of Resistance at the Brecht Forum, 7:30 p.m., Tuesday, March 17th. All right. So, right. So back to my rant. I can't put it off forever. Might as well just get it out of the way. Okay. Let me give a station break. It's 12:33 in the morning on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and my name is Bill Weinberg. Biting the hand that feeds me tonight, once again, having to be the voice of dissent here at WBAI. And, you know, you've heard me give this rap before, because on two occasions over the course of the past couple of years, I have felt obliged, ethically and intellectually obliged, to publicly dissent from premiums which were offered during the fund drives, because I felt that they were wildly irresponsible, not only affronts to logic and intellectual seriousness, but also to progressive politics That's the part. That's really the rub. You know, I could almost forgive stupidity if at least it was left-wing stupidity. And, you know, there's enough left-wing stupidity out there, you know? All of you, long live the People's Republic of China clowns out there. You know, that's left-wing stupidity. But at least it's left-wing stupidity. But having to hear right-wing stupidity on WBAI really, really hurts. It really, really hurts, you know, because this is precisely what we're supposed to be the alternative to. And right-wing stupidity is what dominates talk radio out there in America. And we're supposed to be the alternative to it. And here we are following its coattails. Profoundly embarrassing, profoundly demoralizing. All right, so, you know, the two times in the past when I've had to give this rap was, you know, first there was the Painful Deceptions DVD, I believe that's what it was called, produced by Eric Hufschmid about 9/11, purporting the completely unfounded and illogical theory that pre-planted explosives brought down the towers. Now, once again, it's not merely that this is a far-fetched, in fact, faintly impossible theory. That would be bad enough. Mere stupidity would be bad enough. But this Eric Hufschmid character, those of you who know, who heard me give the rap, is of the radical right. If you go to his website, there's all of this, xenophobic, anti-immigrant garbage about how, the Mexicans are coming in and taking away jobs from hardworking Americans. Holocaust revisionism of the most blatant and vulgar variety, with all of this, you know, sophistry about, they couldn't have possibly burned 6 million bodies, or, you know, there wasn't enough fuel, or it would have taken too long, or the ovens weren't big enough, or blah, 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 blah. The most blatant, vulgar Holocaust revisionism. The usual, hokum that, Mossad or whoever was behind just about everything bad which has ever happened in history, every war which has ever taken place, and most, you know, recently, of course, the World Trade Center collapse. Now, why on earth should WBAI be loaning legitimacy to this right-wing charlatan, Hufschmid? And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, I had to do it again several months later, or a couple of years later, when we ran offered the premium about the Federal Reserve System, which had a big wet kiss endorsement blurb from Milton Friedman, the ideological founding father of the free market laissez-faire right, and the intellectual pillar of the economic policies of the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile. And arguing once again that, the Federal Reserve Bank was, this evil conspiracy by the Rothschilds and all of these other evil Jewish bankers to undermine American sovereignty, and posing everything in terms of, American sovereignty is being undermined by this evil international banking conspiracy, and all of these, wonderful presidents like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were standing up for America by staving off this design to establish a national bank until, you know, Woodrow Wilson took the bait, and nothing has been the same in America ever since. Completely a right-wing analysis. I mean, there may be, you know, a legitimate left-wing critique of the Federal Reserve System, and I'd love to get, you know, Doug Henwood or somebody to tell us what it is. But assuredly, it was not that. That was a real evil, fascistic, right-wing critique, as opposed to a left-wing critique. All right? Did I say left-wing? Right. First time around. I'm sure that there is a legitimate left-wing critique of the Federal Reserve System, and I'd love to get Doug Henwood or somebody to tell us what it is. But it was not that. That was a right-wing critique. And a really ugly, xenophobic, quasi-fascistic right-wing critique. And, you know, a part of the problem is that the left has been using the word fascist just as an all-purpose insult and just throwing it around like a manhole cover for so long that we don't have any appreciation of what fascism really is. And if you look at classical fascism, such as it existed between 1922 and 1945, and if you don't understand the significance of those dates, spend some time in a library and find out what I mean by classical fascism. If you look at classical fascism, invariably, in the period of its rise to power, it starts out as a populist movement. And its program is cloaked precisely in the terms of defending national sovereignty from the evil international conspiracy of the bankers who are trying to bring the country to its knees through manipulating capitalism so as to impose socialism. Completely illogical. But nonetheless, that's the line which has been promulgated by fascist movements, beginning actually even before classical fascism, but going back to the roots of classical fascism before its emergence with the coming to power of Mussolini in Italy in 1922, going back even before that, going back to its roots, emerged this argument, this line of reasoning first emerged with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which was produced by the Tsarist secret police, specifically as a strategy for scapegoating the Jews and instrumenting the pogroms to let the masses blow off steam when they were upset about the declining economic fortunes and the instability of the Tsarist system and the threat of revolutionary movements. And actually, it goes back even further than that. You could follow it all the way back to all of the theorizing from the French royalists that the Freemasons and Illuminati were behind the French Revolution. Really, it goes all the way back to that. It goes all the way back to when revolutionary movements, as we understand them today, first emerged. And this was the line of reaction to ride out the crises of their own making by scapegoating these conveniently hidden elites, as opposed to, you know, the elites which are in plain sight, that is to say, themselves. There's always got to be some hidden elite that they can scapegoat for the crisis. And ultimately, that's what classical fascism was. It was a mechanism by which the real elites, the Krupps and the Farbins and the, you know, the ruling capitalist class of Italy and Germany and so on, it was a mechanism by which they could ride out a crisis which was ultimately of their own making. Now, you could argue that the New Deal was the same thing. The New Deal was also a mechanism by which the elites could ride out a crisis of their own making. But it was significantly more democratic and less violent mechanism for doing so. But they both had this much in common. They both had a certain amount of populist appeal. But the populist appeal of the New Deal was actually taking its cue from socialism to a certain extent and exploiting socialism and co-opting socialist ideas. But nonetheless, taking enough from socialism so as to correctly recognize the enemy to a certain extent. Not going so far as to actually calling for a socialist solution to the crisis of seizing the means of production and actually having the economy subject to public ownership and social direction, but taking enough from socialism that there's some kind of notion that capital needed to be tamed and domesticated in the public interest, in the interest of the public good. So, you know, it's important that we be clear about all of this stuff. And this brings me, unfortunately, to my final point, which is that once again, you know, BAI has gone and done it again with all right. Last week when I took phone calls, as we're going to in just a few minutes, at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. Last week when we took phone calls, one of the regular callers called in and started ranting about the Bilderbergs. And I'm like, whoa, what put that bug in his ear? Because I hadn't even realized. But earlier that same day, WBAI had been aggressively plugging the latest in a right-wing conspiracy potboiler, this time about the Bilderberg Group. And what the Bilderberg Group is, once again, the problem isn't that that the people who make up the Bilderberg Group, you know, the Kissingers and the international bankers and so on, the problem is not that they meet behind closed doors at this gathering once every year. That's not the problem. The problem is that they exist. Hello? That's the problem. The problem is that we live in a class society. That's the problem. The problem is that, you know, the wealth is concentrated up at the top of the social pyramid. That's the problem. The problem is not that, you know, a bunch of these bozos meet behind closed doors once a year and call themselves the Bilderberg Group. But, you know, if you want to look at the Bilderberg Group and what they do, you know, sure. I don't think that they wield that much influence as the Bilderberg Group. I just think that they, you know, get together and schmooze. It's kind of like, you know, the Bohemian Club out in California. It's just one of these places where these guys get together and schmooze once a year. The Trilateral Commission, which there's also a lot of, you know, conspiratorial theorizing about, they really have, you know, played a role in setting policy behind the scenes to a certain extent. They're worthy of investigation. Likewise, the Council on Foreign Relations. But let's put all of that aside. Let's assume for the sake of argument that the Bilderberg Group is legitimately worthy of examination. All right, let's just assume that it is. I would argue that, to a certain extent, it's a waste of time. But let's put aside that argument. Let's assume that it is. This, these folks whose words were broadcast on WBAI, Daniel Estelin, author of The True Story of the Bilderberg Club, and Chris Mulligan, his publisher, once again, explicitly posing the critique in right-wing, populist, quasi-fascistic terms. Did anybody out there listen? Anybody else listen? because I went back and I didn't know about it when it was on the air, but I went back and listened to the archive. Did anybody else out there listen? We heard, both of them were interviewed, but I think this is most of these quotes are from Chris Mulligan, the publisher. People think we live in a capitalist country. One of the first things he said, people think we live in a capitalist country, quote unquote, implying that we don't, and implying that we'd be better off if we did. And then goes on to more explicitly state later on that a part of the Bilderberg agenda is to impose socialism. I mean, apart from being completely illogical, completely wacky, completely in defiance of everything that, in fact, the people who make up the Bilderberg Club actually stand for, it also comes straight out of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and the propaganda of classical fascism. Straight out of it. Then, once again, everything is posed in terms of protecting American sovereignty from sinister foreign conspiracies. A great deal was said about the bugaboo of the North American Union, which does not exist. If anybody out there can provide me the slightest bit of evidence that the so-called North American Union exists, I will publicly eat crow over the airwaves. There is no such thing. All right? They are not going to take away the American dollar and impose the Amero, like the Euro. They are not going to, the problem is not that NAFTA has eroded American sovereignty. The problem is that, if anything, NAFTA has eroded Mexico's sovereignty. And by allowing American U.S.-based corporations to further dominate the hemisphere. And, yes, our, industrial jobs and so on have been exported under NAFTA. But that's got nothing to do with our, so-called sovereignty being undermined. Unless you think that that it has ever been the working class which has run this country. And you should know better. In any event, if anybody can provide me the slightest bit of evidence that there's any kind of program for a North American Union or an Amero, I'd love to hear it. And if you can provide any evidence whatsoever, I will publicly eat crow over these airwaves. And I have studied this very, very closely. Okay, I've written a book about Mexico and the North American Free Trade Agreement. So, you want to match wits with me? Fine, bring them on. I'm ready. Once again, we had more about the Federal Reserve bugaboo. Here's another quote. We don't need a revolution. We don't need a new kind of government. Our founding fathers were very smart people. Well, I would have thought that if there was any kind of consensus here at WBAI, it would be that, in fact, we do need a revolution in this country, and that we do need some different form of government, and that even if our founding fathers were very smart people, they were also slave owners and Indian killers, for the most part. And yet, I believe this was Chris Mulligan, goes further, says that we, meaning the United States, using that problematic pronoun, we are the light of the world. We are still the light of the world, quote unquote. And that, the only problem is that, this light is in danger of being extinguished by these sinister international conspiracies and designs to impose global governance and international socialism by the Bilderberg Group. Okay, then there was once again, briefly invoking another one of these surefire signs, along with, talking about the North American Union and posing, threats to American sovereignty. Another one of these surefire signs that you're getting your analysis from the radical right is the 13th Amendment bugaboo. without even, you know, explaining what he means. He says that America, you know, went wrong with the 13th Amendment, and this somehow was, you know, the big turning point in which our freedom and sovereignty was eroded. The amendment that freed the slaves? Did this? And this is standard, propaganda of the radical right. This is always what they point to, that, you know, that a new class of citizenship was created by the 13th Amendment. Now, the guy who was interviewed, I'm pretty sure it was Chris Mulligan, he didn't actually go that far. He didn't actually say it, but you could hear it coming if you're familiar with the line. This is the line, okay? If you want to hear it, you can hear it from the militia movement and the Posse Comitatus and the Ku Klux Klan. The line is that the 13th Amendment created a new form of citizenship, and that prior to that, you know, there had been organic citizens, which of course means white people, and then after that there were sort of artificially created pseudo citizens or admiralty citizens, as they call them, which were created by military fiat. And that the 13th Amendment isn't really legitimate because the South was still being occupied by the Union in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War when it was passed. That's the line. That's the line. So Mulligan didn't actually spew the whole line, but if you want to hear it, just, you know, go to the website of the Posse Comitatus or the Klan, and you can get it. But before he went that far, he just merely said that the 13th Amendment was where America started to go wrong, and then he immediately did a convenient little jump cut to the Skull and Bone Society. So he didn't even stick around to flesh out why he believes that with the 13th Amendment is where the country went wrong. All right, then what else? Okay, he says that the Balkans is one of the top opium production regions in the world, which is certainly not true. They don't grow any opium at all in the Balkans. Just by way of getting on to, once again, a grain of truth here, an element of truth. Certainly the CIA has been deeply involved in drug smuggling, as we all know. But, you know, just completely getting his facts utterly, utterly wrong. But I almost don't even want to bother to call him out on getting his facts wrong, because, once again, that's mere ignorance. And what's being peddled here is much, much more sinister than mere ignorance. All right, I'm almost done. Along with, you know, the posing the problem in terms of the destruction of nation states by the European Union and the North American Union, which doesn't even exist. He again poses the problem, and in addition to, you know, the international capitalist elites are trying to impose socialism, which doesn't make a lick of sense whatsoever. There are tools for imposing their new world order, their global dictatorship, are the zero growth movements and the ecological movement. Oh, great! So here we have, you know, zero growth and ecology being demonized. I mean, all you have to do is do the math. We live on a planet of finite resources, and any, you know, system which is predicated on limitless growth is headed for a crash. Just do the math. Obviously, we need to somehow, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not saying I have any magic solution, but obviously we do, in fact, need to make some kind of a transition to a no-growth system. And then the most bizarre thing of all is that he says that that this whole agenda for socialism, zero growth, ecological movement, blah, 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 is a tool of the black nobility, quote, unquote. Well, if you know what the black nobility were, they were the reactionary, ultra-reactionary aristocratic families of Italy who sided with the Vatican when the Papal States were overthrown in the formation of the Italian nation-state in the 1870s. So the last thing that the Bilderberg Club or the Club of Rome or any of these people would have anything to do with would be the black nobility, who opposed the emerging international capitalist order and wanted to, you know, go back to feudalism. So completely, once again, completely illogical. And there's all, and in any event, the black nobility were back in the 1870s, they aren't around anymore, although there's all this paranoia that the military order of Malta is some kind of survival of the black nobility. But None of it makes a lick of sense. It's all sheer wackiness. Okay? It's all sheer wackiness. And, you know, I am not like a huge fan of Noam Chomsky. I take issue with much of what Noam Chomsky has to say. But I would rather argue with Noam Chomsky than argue with this stuff. This stuff is just so depressing. I mean, at least Noam Chomsky, you know, he's getting a bit rigid and dogmatic in his old age, but at least he's of the left. And at least his errors are, and I submit that he does make some errors, you know, at least they're errors of the left. But, you know, to see WBAI falling for right-wing conspiracy theory is just too depressing. It's just too depressing. So, you know, if I have to, like, you know, risk my neck calling it out, then so be it, because I can't look at myself in the mirror and continue to do this radio show and just pretend that everything is hunky-dory at BAI while they're promoting this nonsense. And I also want to make clear that I am certainly not encouraging anybody to not pay their pledge if they actually pledge for this premium. Pay your pledge. WBAI needs the money, and you made a pledge, and it's important that you live up to a pledge that you made. And what's more, I want to make explicitly clear that I am not calling for the censorship or suppression of this nonsense, of the true story of the Bilderberg Club by Daniel Estulin. By no means am I calling for it to be censored or suppressed. You want to read it? Fine. Read it. But read it with a critical eye. And read it with a little bit of historical context. And read it after you've read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shirer. And don't just look at it like, oh, wow, yeah, the straight poop. Finally, somebody's telling us the truth. So, if you pledged for the true story of the Bilderberg Club, pay your pledge, read the book, but, you know, do so with your critical faculties intact and not with an attitude of wide-eyed gullibility. So once again, I'm not calling for this work to be suppressed. I'm not calling for any other producers to be censored or censured, by no means. And similarly, I believe that I have the right to publicly dissent over these airwaves without being either censored or censured. What do you all think? Let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. Is the number. Once again, if anybody can provide any elucidation as to all of this scuttlebutt about BAI being put under internal receivership or whatever that means, please do call in 212-209-2900 and let us know what you think. And if there's any partisans out there of Daniel Estulin and the true story of the Bilderberg Group and you want to give me grief, okay, fine. You're entitled to do that. I encourage you. If anybody out there wants to call in and say, Weinberg, at last, you said it. Somebody needed to say it, and I'm really glad you said it. Well, I'd certainly love to hear from you. Any of that is good, okay? Or, you know, bringing up some other things which are have to do with the basic theme which we're discussing tonight of conspiracy theory and the growing flirtation of the radical left with the populist right. I'd love to hear from you to see what you have to say about that as well. But if you just want to call up to give me grief, to sabotage the show, to spew vulgarities, or to hijack the conversation for something which has nothing to do with what we're talking about, please don't call in, okay? And really, I'm going to be keeping score, and I want a majority of intelligent callers, even if it's just a majority of one, okay? If we take... actually, five. If we take 10 phone calls, even five would be a majority of one, right? So, actually, no, that would be exactly even. It'd have to be six. It'd have to be six. All right, I'm going to be keeping score. Let's see how we do. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm an intelligent caller. I'm calling out of New England, and I wanted to respond to what you're saying about the Black Nobility and that book that you mentioned that was used on the fundraiser. I don't listen all the time, you know, but I do know this. The black nobility is Queen Elizabeth, Beatrix of the Netherlands, Isabella of Spain, and who are related to the Rothschild family, and they are all related to the Rothschilds and to these, it goes back several hundred years. And they are...
How can it go back several hundred years if the black nobility only came into existence in the 1870s?
Well, are you talking about the one with Queen Beatrix? But I'm talking about Rothschild. He implanted the British royalty, and then you have...
What has that got to do with the black nobility?
Well, they are a part of it. They are related to this group of very wealthy, powerful Jewish families who want to have a one-world government. They ruled even the Roman Empire. And when the Roman Empire fell, then they established the Catholic Church, and then you have the Knights Templar.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Jewish families established the Catholic Church.
The Khazars. These are not like Jews. You know what the Khazars are, don't you? Is it a Mongolian?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think that you do. Okay, that does not count as an intelligent call. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Manhattan. I'm a first-time caller. Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, okay. I'd like to address an issue you raised earlier about conspiracy and World Trade Centers. I'm an open thinker. I'm interested in truth wherever it lies. And there's an interesting website. You go to American Scholars Symposium. Just Google that. And they have some interesting data. Documentation from the firemen who were in the World Trade Centers.
All bunk. I've checked it out. It's all bunk. Their facts don't check out.
Well, but if I may say something, they were saying how they swore that they heard...
I don't want to have this argument. It's
okay,
all been discredited. It's
I'm
all
not...
been... No, but we are. We are arguing.
No,
it's
I'm
all been
arguing.
Discredited, and that's not what the show is about tonight.
Okay, well, if I can just say one other thing then, that... You know, it seems to me that with extraordinary rendition and torture and illegal wiretapping, that there seems to be some kind of, you know, dictatorial element that seems to want to take over our government here. And, you know, having something like 9/11 as an excuse to do so seems to be what the chronology has been here. And although,
what do you mean by a dictatorial element?
Well, I mean, how else can you categorize things like torture and illegal wiretapping?
No, what do you mean by an element?
An element in our government that I do not say that all the people in our government are this way, but there seems to be an element, a faction in our government that is or leans towards, you know, wanting a dictatorship. I don't see how else you can categorize some abominations like torture. And
right, but this is saying something which is completely self-evident. If you want to say that there's been a very disturbing drift towards totalitarianism since 9/11, then you're saying something which is completely self-evident. It's not even worth saying. What I take issue with is that, you know, engaging in this a priori ipso facto conclusion that therefore the 9/11 was an inside job, or 9/11 was done by the government, which is a ridiculous logical leap. And I also take issue with this notion, once again, of a dictatorial element in the government, which implies that there's some kind of, you know, outside force which has asserted itself, as opposed to this just being the working of the system. The system goes into crisis and authoritarian elements come to the fore.
Well, but, you know, there are other elements. I mean, there are those in our government who are for the rights of the people and supposedly, even though they don't act this way often, our elected representatives supposedly are, you know, representing the will of the people. And when I call up mine, which I frequently do, I often find that the issues that I'm concerned about, they concur with, you know.
Okay, well, look, some of them, some of our Congress critters are more co-opted and more evil than others. But ultimately, the problem is the co-optation of the political process by the capitalist system. It's not, you know, our sovereignty being undermined by some foreign element. And none of this means that the 9/11 was an inside job. And I'm, you know, I'm agnostic as to whether it was or it wasn't. But certainly all of this dogmatism about planted explosives, bringing down the towers and pods on the airplanes, and they were really hit by missiles and blah, blah, blah. It's wacky. It's absolutely wacky. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. How
good morning.
Yeah. I just had one comment kind of question. I mean, I've been listening to WBAI for a long time, and I've donated to some of the fund drives. But I've heard you on all three occasions. Actually, one of the Huffnagel thing I got, and I did some research after listening to you the first time you ranted. And it's true. A lot of that was false, xenophobic garbage. And I threw the DVD out, but I still paid for it. But the bottom line is, I'm not knocking you, but I'm just saying, why is it that you only come on at 1 o'clock in the morning and present your arguments, which are, which a lot of them are valid, some of them I agree with you, some of them I don't. And a lot of people that listen to WBAI take what comes from WBAI as the gospel truth. And you should really be allowed to present these other arguments about some of the products that they offer for the fund drive. Because I don't think it's correct for them to, yeah, you've got the right to freedom of speech and offer opposing views. But I know a lot of people that listen to WBI. Some of these people take this stuff as the gospel truth.
Well,
they don't question.
Thank you, sir. What more can I say?
So, I mean, I just think you should be allowed to present this in a forum where more people are listening. Because I know a lot of people are not listening at this hour of the night. Because normally I wouldn't be listening either. I would be asleep. I just happen to be up tonight. But,
well, what can I say? I certainly agree with you, but the odds of me being given a show at a time when more people are listening are practically nil. It's not going to happen precisely because I am such a dissident and a gadfly.
Well, I'm glad that you are because, like I said, a lot of times you listen to some of this stuff and it sounds very good. But when you do the research, which a lot of people don't do and don't take the time to do, you find that even though it sounds good and slick and sweet, there's a lot of conjecture behind it, and you've got to really keep an open mind.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for your call. Music to my ears. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and
sure.
Speak up.
Okay, gotcha. Hi. Listen, I've listened to you on and off over the years, and, you know, I liked what you had to say. I'm a first-time caller I've ever really ever gone through. And like the gentleman before, it's just by a miracle I happen to be up listening to you. But yeah, I mean, first of all, people on WBI, people do a lot of the programming. It's like America's always wrong. There's always this, America's evil, America's always wrong, there's always this problem with America. Anyway, yeah, there's problems here, but the whole point is that there's a lot of people on the station or on the left we're just in love with conspiracy theories. And I think in a way to kind of connect to the populace, they figure the more conspiracy theories they give them, the more they'll listen and the more they'll give money in order to, I guess, keep the station afloat. By the way, I'm still waiting for my premium from the Golden Oldies show about from 2 years ago. But still,
oh, my God.
However, after having said that, I mean, just on a practical level, get the hell out of Wall Street. What the hell are you guys doing on Wall Street? I don't understand why you guys ever moved there in the friggin' first place.
Me neither. Although as much as I despise it here and as much as I miss 505 8th Avenue, and I really do, I miss it terribly because I felt much, much more at home there, I'm still sort of I don't know. See, if we really are getting gouged for the rent here, then I suppose it makes a certain amount of sense. It makes a certain amount of sense to move, but I'm, you know, just sort of the sense of inertia that, you know, moving would cost a lot too. Moving would cost a hell of a lot, and it would create a lot of chaos. So I don't know. But anyway, thanks for your call. Just on the notion that, you know, of the America bashing stuff. Well, you know, I thoroughly support a principled anti-imperialism. Absolutely. I think there's a distinction between that and, you know, sort of a vulgar anti-America position as opposed to a principled anti-imperialist position. And, you know, that's where, you know, all the cheerleading for any authoritarian state out there, which happens to be on the wrong side of on the wrong side of Washington's bombs or propaganda, we have to rally around and glorify. I think that's a really grave error. But that's sort of not the error I'm discussing tonight. And if anything, you know, the error that I'm discussing tonight is, I mean, it's beyond an error. It's an ideological embrace of an America First position and viewing the problem, you know, as, you know, these sinister foreign threats to American sovereignty. So it's sort of a different problem I'm discussing tonight. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio, speak up. Turn down your radio, speak up. Turn down your radio and speak up.
To thank Peggy Dominique, Marianne Miller, especially Peggy Dominique for the Money Masters thing, Bill. You're right, a right-wing critique is what it is. We need a left-wing critique of the Fed. And Peggy and Marianne Miller brought the right wing.
Well, I'm not interested in calling out other producers by name, but thank you very much. WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Yay.
Okay, yeah. That, okay, I need to mark another one. That was definitely not an intelligent call. Okay, so far we've had two calls, which can't even give them the benefit of the doubt. But so far, the intelligent calls, ones which are at least minimally intelligent, are in the lead by three, if my count is correct. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down the radio and speak up.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi.
A lot of the argument that some of the conspiracy theory people seem to be putting out, especially whether it regards 9/11, the Bilderbergers, whatever. In the 1980s, I was involved with the LaRouche campaign.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah, you do a lot of stupid stuff when you're young. And a lot of the same nonsense is being spoken by him.
Well, of course. Of course. He's coming out of the same tradition entirely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But is it, also, you kind of wonder, supposedly a lot of the neocons with the Bush administration came out of the fringes of the left also. So maybe just some kind of, like, twisted natural evolution that, you know, these nutcases come out of, like, one swing movement into another one. You know, the political spectrum is like a circle rather than an actual line.
Well, yes, this point has certainly been made.
Yeah. But I believe it, that there's a lot of folks out there who like conspiracies because it puts things, like, in perspective. It's not their fault. It's always some other group.
Easy answers.
And, yeah.
The lore of easy answers,
yeah,
is what's, I mean, you know, is what is fed us down here at the bottom of the social pyramid. And for the people up at the top of the social pyramid, they laugh all the way to the bank because it's always these mysterious hidden elites as opposed to the elites which we can all see every day.
Right. I mean,
right.
People follow what the fashion people wear or what Paris Hilton is wearing or doing or whatever, like, you know, favorite Hollywood star or artist or whatever. No one can make their own decisions. We have to follow trends, whether it be talking to magic spirits, you know, doing the Kabbalah, or, you know, throwing dice, or collecting postcards. It's all part of the same thing. We have to belong to a bigger thing than ourselves because we're not capable of it.
No,
at least that's what seems to be the, you know, the majority opinion out there.
I don't want to diss the Kabbalah too much, but
another
conversation.
The Madonna version of the Kabbalah. you know, not having been raised Roman Catholic, we talk to ghosts. So,
all right, but let's. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, right.
We're basically on the same page. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, in your pursuit of truth, are you willing to turn any stone or step on any icon in order to get to the truth?
Of course. Complete ruthlessness.
Well,
that's my motto.
Because I noticed, I just tuned in about maybe 10 or 15 minutes ago, and I feel that in order to solve the problems that we are currently experiencing, we have to be very honest about certain things. There are organized groups that try to instill or indoctrinate the public into their way of belief, and it's generally...
What do you mean? Give me an example of what you mean.
Well, there are certain circumstances when we try to define what's going on with the American decline in capitalism that are quite obvious.
Like what?
Well, take one for example. We have disenfranchised groups that now have gained power in this country, and prior to, say, the last 30 or 40 years, they were generally looked upon as being a bit on the outs.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, the Protestants used to run this country.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have Catholics and Jews and other groups that seem to not be able to handle power very well because they don't have that natural ability to be cold. In their quest to appease...
All right, so this is how you perceive the problem of the financial crisis and so on, is that we've let too many non-Anglo-Protestants into the power elite.
That's my opinion. This is very serious. The fact
Oh, yes, very serious. Okay, that's a third... call for the not intelligent, I'll phrase it negatively rather than positively so as not to be too insulting category. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
You. I'm actually leaving my room. Hello. I listen to your show a lot, and I'm usually up at this time, and I'm kind of a night owl. And for the most part, I like what you say. Sometimes I don't, and then... You know, you'll come out with a point, and I'll be like, oh, well, he has redeemed himself. But, you wanted intelligent people to call up, and it occurred to me that, you know, most people aren't really, I wouldn't say overly intelligent, but, like, you know, I think that you saying that you want half of the calls to be very intelligent.
No. I said minimally intelligent. And so far, the minimally intelligent calls are in the lead. They've got a slight lead. Slight lead.
All right. Well, for sure. But, oh, gosh, I've been on the hold so long. Anyway, no, I just, I want to encourage you to keep doing your show.
Well, thank you.
Because, you know, I listen and, you know, I don't agree with you all the time.
You don't have to. I don't expect people to agree with me all the time.
I think that would be unhealthy.
Exactly. It would be unhealthy. Right. It's all about dialogue and exchanging ideas.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And I think that sometimes when people call up, you should just, instead of being so abrasive, be a little less abrasive and sort of try and coax them towards the truth. I've found that, you know, especially, I'm kind of young. I'm 23 and, like, you know, doing my little stint at, like, crappy community college and, like, getting into, like, horrible arguments with people and just completely offending their every sensibility and their way of life and their very foundations of existence. It doesn't really get us anywhere in our quest for, you know, true equality of all people, of all races and creeds or whatever.
Well, I don't suffer fools gladly, though. I'm sorry. You know, there's some stuff which is just beyond the pale. And certainly, certainly the people who call in and only want to, you know, sabotage the show by spewing vulgarities, you know, there's no way that you can have any tolerance for that. I'm sorry.
I totally agree. And, you know, I'm going to use the example of, like, you know, someone who's racist. If you, you know, and I constantly violate this because I really hate racism, but, you know, if you confront a racist in a very abrasive manner and sort of, you know, try and grab them and pull them towards, you know, the right perspective or what have you, they're going to be more and more unwilling to do that.
Well, look, I suppose there's some logic to the honey rather than vinegar argument, but, you know, the world needs people who use vinegar too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we need people who take both approaches, and my approach is the vinegar approach, you know. I'm the bad cop. thanks for your call. I'm going to see
welcome,
if we can, who else we can squeeze
have
in.
Have a good night.
Thank you. WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Yeah. Just a quick personal anecdote, and then I'll get to my point. I'll be brief.
Please do.
Okay. Good friend of mine, body worker, very intuitive, very bright, good musician. He's convinced about this stuff about the Amaro. He read it on the Internet, and he believes
it. Oh, that makes it true. It was on the Internet.
Exactly. And then I have another guy who's a body worker who's, you know, a friend. And after he works on me, he turns to me and he says, never mind about daylight savings time, that it's a pain in the ass. Look at all this money the government is spending to, you know. In other words, he takes his marching orders from Rush Limbaugh.
Is Rush Limbaugh on some campaign against daylight savings time?
No, probably, but...
I missed you. I'm not following you.
Okay, no, all he was saying, we were discussing, you know, like daylight savings time, and people are kind of like logy, as a scientist say, for like about a week afterward. And he said, you think that's bad, that's nothing.
What's this word you're using?
Huh?
Logy?
Yeah, kind of logy and out of it.
What's logy?
This a little disoriented, a little bit slow of wit, you know what I mean? That, but anyway, he said, well, that's nothing compared to what the government is doing, spending all our money. And that's his Rush Limbaugh thing. It's, these are bright people who, because either of their backgrounds or what their fathers taught them or whatever, they, when it gets to, you know, discerning issues and clearing out the cobwebs and trying to think objectively, they're incapable of it. Now, I don't think you have to have Mensa mentality to do this, but... You know, I was heartened that Obama could mobilize so many people about broad spectrum issues and a kind of direction, a different direction. But maybe that's all that most people are capable of, because I've seen very smart people stop thinking, you know, and you experience this all the time, that they can't dissect an issue, hear both sides of the argument.
Well, I don't cut them as much slack as you do. I mean, if people don't act smart, then I start to question whether, in fact, they are smart. Look, our whole culture has been dramatically dumbed down.
Sure. You know? Yeah, no, I'm essentially agreeing with you. I'm being nice, you know, but you know...
Right, I'm not always so nice, you know.
Right, exactly. And to that young 23-year-old fellow, you know... Get used to it. The world is tough out there.
All right. We got 5 minutes left. I'm going to see if we can squeeze in a few more calls.
Okay.
Thank you very much. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm really enjoying the show tonight.
Glad to hear it.
All right. I think you said a whole bunch of great things. I just wanted to say a couple of things, if I could. One thing about BAI, I've been a supporter for a long time, and... this time around, I was a little low on cash, so I went up and volunteered. And I noticed when I did, a lot of people call in with all kinds of suggestions. And I'll tell you, come down and check that place out, people, because you'll see how, like, what
I do every week.
No, how it's really, you know, I'm speaking to the listeners and everything, how it's really running on, you know, on spit and gum, man. And, you know, that. I noticed too when taking orders, like you've got pages and pages of these premiums, you know, and, you know, I've ordered stuff. I think I never got a t-shirt, you know, whatever. I just really quickly, I just like to say, if everyone just got a basic membership and whatever premium you liked, look it up on the internet and get that yourself to whoever it is, you know.
And if you made a pledge, please pay it.
Yeah, please do. Also,
you really need the bread.
I just wanted to, mention, one thing. I'm not a, one of these, I forget what they call it, the double 2 cents or whatever it is about the 9/11 stuff. But to me, the conspiracy and that kind of thing is, I remember when the commission report came out, immediately got it. And you notice with stuff like that, I don't think somebody told me they didn't do it with the original Warren report. They don't put an index. And you've got this thing that's 1,000 pages or something like that.
All right, what's your point?
My point is that that's really... the questions that need to be answered are why people like Bush and Cheney are allowed to testify, not under oath, and it's not even allowed to be recorded. I mean, those are answers enough we need rather than bombs strapped to planes or whatever, if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's see. We've got just around 3 minutes, not even. We've got really 2.5 minutes left. I should probably end the show now. But since the calls are actually, we've got the intelligent callers in the lead. Let's see if we can keep going for just one or two more calls. WBAI, you're on the air. Please make it snappy.
Continue the discussion. Your show is great. The whole thing is that on your side of the issue, you don't engage this issue enough on your show. Your show tonight was incredible because you were actually hitting each of the conspiracy issues. You were actually giving responses to that. There's not enough people that give responses. I also heard that you did a debate with Frank Morales that I never heard the debate, but everybody who's heard it has said that the debate was an incredible debate. So more things like that on the air. So we get the other side.
Thanks. Let me see if I can squeeze in one more call. Thank you very much.
Yes.
WBAI, you're on the air. Speak up.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say the same thing. You guys are great, and regardless of WBAI's kinks and quirks, I'm glad that for now you're still on the air, and thank you, and you need the encouragement, so here it is.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, good night.
Well, maybe that's an appropriate note to go out on. Thank you very much. Let's see. What's the total tally here? I might have skipped one or two, but I think 5, 6, 7, 8 intelligent calls and 3, to be polite, not intelligent calls. So, okay, for the moment, I continue to do the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. If this was not my famous swan song episode, I'll be back next week. So please do stay tuned, and Salam Aleikum. Hello? No, that's not the one I wanted to play. I wanted to play this one. Hello? Wasting precious moments. Here we go. More Bedouin music from Oran, Algeria. Night.
يا من اللي تفديرني في شدام لو انت معذبات تتبغ لناس.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.